Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Laura, who is here to speak with us about a recent Practice Corner article that she wrote for the Monastery Newsletter. Welcome, Laura.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to be here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you quite well. Yep.
Excellent. Excellent.
So I just thought your article was a delightful example of practice in action in everyday life. And I wonder if you could kind of walk us through, you know, what happened and what you chose to write about and how that all panned out.
Oh, you know, it was such a just a journey around letting life lead as well. When, you know, asked to write the article, there was a whole kind of thing around what, you know, what to write about. And then here there was this beautiful life experience that just kind of happened. And to really, like, see how kind, in the moment it doesn't feel kind, right? But afterwards,
exactly.
Really seeing the generosity of life in teaching me something and giving me an experience to teach me something. And the place that I get really, I find myself getting tripped up a lot is the aspect of recording and listening, which I love, but there's an, like, it's not recording or listening, it's recording and listening. And the two, those two processes together, like they're a team and they're together for a reason. And I was skipping over the listening part, which had directly to do with this piece that gets missed, where the person who happens to be called Laura gets her life experience, her emotions, her struggle gets missed because that's just a karmic process. And so recording and listening gives me the opportunity to do that differently. And so I'll stop there for a sec.
Yeah, well, it's just so perfect, you know, kind of laying out that it's not recording or listening, it's recording and listening, that it really is one thing and that both of those parts are crucial. And what you realized is that the listening part had been skipped over and that really doesn't provide the full experience. It doesn't get your life experience to be seen and reflected and acknowledged and all of those things. And as you say, you were given this gift that didn't seem like a gift at the time, but one of those gifts that life gives you to really get to work with that.
Yes, and it's that place around where we don't have to go very far to be able to practice with whatever we need to practice with. Like, all we have to do is, like, look at our life experience and where am I suffering, where am I struggling. And that, so
in your example.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you feel comfortable kind of saying what the,
yes, please,
how it all, what happened and what unfolded?
Well, yeah, so basically, you know, we kept our, I had taken my kid, one of the kids rode the bike, right? And I'd driven the car, put the bike in the car and driven it somewhere. And it was my kid's responsibility to put the bikes back in the garage, and he did not. And I had left the bikes there too, just to, you know, they're fine. And then one day we go to ride the bikes and they're gone. And there was this whole, like, innocent, like, oh, well, they're somewhere around here. And then my husband was like, well, you know, right. He's like, you know, it's weird. The car door was open one day, and I just went and shut it. And there really was this humorous, like, no, there's, right. And then when we found out the bikes were stolen, the first place that my mind went was, like, how unfair this is. Like, people suck. I hate people. I am a good person. How could this happen to me? You know, like that whole, you know, thing. And then pretty soon after, it's, well, it's your own fault. You left the, you know, and I probably left my car unlocked because I frequently do that. And so what's your own fault? What do you expect? And so at that point, there was a clue of suffering, and I just had to get out of it. So I went for a walk. I pulled, and I was so in it, and I'm out of my walk, which I usually feel better when I go for a walk. But the really beautiful thing was this life was right there, and it was like, hey, just breathe, right? And that was the very first clue that I was able to listen. And I call it life whispers, and I don't actually, it just feels like such a loving like little tap on the shoulder, a little whisper in my ear. And yeah. I love it when I've heard Sherry talk about, and you talk about, like, when you hear a song on the radio, rather than turn it up, like, when you turn it down, it allows you to listen, more deeply. And
really,
I don't know, I'm projecting onto life. Like, it's not going to scream at me, because that's not going to help. It's going to whisper something really kind.
And in this case, if I'm tracking it, it was basically, well, let's just breathe. Let's just breathe.
Yes.
Just that, just that quiet, kind message. Let's just breathe. Because the other thing you said a minute ago, Laura, which is so huge and seems exactly like what we're looking at with our current retreat focus, mm-hmm. with the year-long retreat, is that place of, oh, okay, there's suffering here. That's my wake-up call. That's my wake-up call. And that's, you know, as a professional awareness practitioner, you know, then I'm, oh, okay, all right, here we go. And so you start out on a walk, and the first thing you get to is breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I'm out, and there's some spaciousness. And then the next thing is, and I have been paying attention. I have, you know, this has been a workshop for quite some time. And it drops in like, okay, this is the time to pick up the recorder. Really let this person. And there was resistance, like, and there's a karma around just let it go. But I never let it go, right? Ego is not going to let me let this go. And so what would be the danger, right, to just let this person talk? And so I did, and I spent probably an hour walk just really, I kept having to record and listen because I was really in it. And then what I got to was, it wasn't about the bike anymore. That was still there, but it was really just, you know, I felt really sad. I was disappointed. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of, like, with the pandemic, we're trying to find activities to get myself and my kids off of their stupid devices, and we found something. Yeah. We were having a good time, and then some stupid person stole that from me, and I'd have to work hard and, like, get back to the, like, just let this person is sad and not stay on the, you know. And if she needed to kick and scream and curse and stuff, let her do that too. But to, like, accept all of it. Let her have her whole experience around this.
Oh, it's so good. You know what caught my attention so much in the article, Laura? A number of things. But what you just said, you said the line was something like, and I had to do it again and again. And I just love that. It's so moving. It's so inspiring because that's it. That's what we're up against. So it obviously touched a really strong button that's in there. There was a lot of suffering with it. But you didn't go, oh, God, well, and then just get into a whole conversation with conditioned mind, even though, of course, that was there.
Yes.
And, you know, of course, you did get pulled in, I'm sure, at times. But you went to the tools, and you just kept at it. You just kept recording and listening. And you said, I had to do it a number of times because it was really, really strong. And then what you saw was, you know what, it's not about the bike. There's a life experience. There's a human being having experience. Yes. And through turning right to it, another phrase from the retreat right now is we have to go through it in order to go through it. There's no shortcut. Yes. There's no way around it. And that's what you did.
No. Yeah. And you know, saying that, Jen, like, we don't want the shortcut because the shortcut won't actually provide the freedom.
It won't. It never will.
And so, you know, with the year-long retreat, what I, as I was recording and listening before this call, what I was also seeing is I've been taught to be afraid of this big emotion, this strong emotion that happens for this human. And so it gets ignored. It gets repressed. It gets pushed away. And then all of these side symptoms happen. But if I can turn towards it and get to see there's actually nothing to be afraid of.
Oh, gosh, dude.
That's it.
That's freedom. Yep. And it doesn't mean that things don't happen. It doesn't mean that I'm not sad about it. It doesn't mean, you know, all those things. But I'm no longer, I don't have to suffer with it. I have a way to work with it, to be with it in presence, in compassion, in kindness.
Yeah, and I don't have to be afraid of it. Like, so that's the place that I would say I'm not 100% there yet, but I'm like way more there than I was. You know, a year ago, like that, the resistance will still come up. But now there's like, oh, wait a minute. I actually want this person to be heard, and there's nothing to be afraid of. Like, there's a, like, I love the last, or one of the lines in this last, the second step is, we're turning towards, right? Towards life. Okay. We're training ourselves to do that, to make that movement. And there's you could take a full breath, right? You know, and just that, it's all okay.
It's all okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's remarkable. Yeah, and as you say, we don't have to seek it out. It's just practicing with our everyday lives, the things that happen day in, day out. That's plenty.
That's
everything.
Plenty. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Laura. It's so fun to hear how particular people are, you know, really using practice and the tools in their day-to-day life and being successful. It's just really inspiring and helpful.
It's fun to practice, and it's fun to participate in sharing it as well. So thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being with us, and take care. Good night.
Thank you.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Laura. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. Good afternoon, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
That was a great conversation. I really appreciated the coming back, needing to come back to it and record again and look at it again, and the willingness and the persistence to save the human being who is having this experience.
Yes, the repetition is our friend, right?
Yes.
The spirit of repetition.
Yes.
And what struck me, right, Michael, is it's like this is the content of the life that we practice with. There isn't some, you know, spiritual something or the other that's not outside my suffering. My suffering, as they were saying, is the portal to ending suffering, right?
Mm.
I have to get through what I'm going through. And so being disappointed that you can't do those things with your kids because someone stole your bike is just such a rich content to practice everything that we need to. Right? That's what we want to be practicing with.
Yes. 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 Wonderful. And I have announcements here, Ashwini.
Great. Thanks, Michael.
For those who have taken the introductory recording and listening training class, the next magical course is opening up in the spring. True Reflections, a 6-week virtual training in cultivating attention on awareness, will help participants nurture a friendship with wisdom, love, and compassion that provides support throughout the undulations of our human existence. The True Reflections class starts April 1st. And for this and other practice offerings, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Ashwini today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Ashwini, I think we are ready here.
Excellent.
Oh.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga in Charleston.
Hi, Helga.
Hi. I've wanted to call in because I just wanted to talk about the Commitment Buddy program that I've signed up for.
Okay.
It was something that Sherry had recommended, and I had thought about it. So I signed up for it 15th of January, I think it was. And, you know, it's just been such a wonderful program to watch ego. To me, what it feels like, it's like, you know, either like this huge mirror or maybe like a what do you call these things? a magnifying glass. Yeah, it's like a magnifying glass where I can just watch every day ego squirm like a little worm on a hook. That's what it looks like to me. You know, it's like going this way and that way and every which way. Just so that everything stays in place the way ego likes it.
And, so the structure of the program.
No, I was just, you know, I mean, I've seen it all before, but because this is like, you know, it's like every day, you know, I send in, you know, I've made a commitment and then, you know, it's like, and things have evolved over time and, you know, the commitment is the same, but the way I'm trying to keep it, approach it, you know, I had different ideas about it. But every day I, you know, send in two texts, one in the morning, one at night, and then I can just see what happens.
Well, and that's sort of the sort of brilliance of the program structure, right? There's nobody who's actually enforcing it. Nobody is monitoring whether you do it or not. It's completely up to you. But there's something that shows up and makes that commitment and puts itself in the structure, right? So, and the structure is so helpful as a mirror to see everything that's going. If the accountability is what we sign up for. And so we can watch what doesn't want to meet those requirements. And there's such a marvelous simplicity in the structure that allows us to see everything that causes us to suffer, right? That ego on the on the hook as you talk about it. And it's such a, I mean, in light of the retreat that we're doing right now, right, Helga, that it is transcending resistance because we create the structures that allow us to feel supported in going past what we've got to encounter and transcend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I just got the write-up for the second part of the retreat, and it's just, I mean, it's just a continuation, really. Of the same thing that I've been looking at and working with, you know, the commitment and how do I get talked out of keeping my commitment, and what can I do to support myself to keep that commitment? It's eye opening.
Precisely, exactly. It's eye opening, and I love it. I love it. Right. Helga, because what you're saying is it's a continuation, and that's exactly what we're doing in practice all the time. We are learning to see, right? Awareness is being expanded. So in the places where we haven't had our eyes opened, we're putting ourselves in that place to see how we can expand our sight. What have I not seen? What can I see through? What's more there, what more is there to see, right? It really opens our eyes.
Yeah, and you know, I was
in touch with what sees, right? What is seeing? The awareness that is aware. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just, you know, this evening, I mean, you know, this has been something that I've been, for a long time really struggling with, and I started, like, you know, stopped struggling and just really paying attention and looking at it. And, you know, the one thing that I thought this evening was, you know, it's like what happens is almost like, you know, this thing was like so close to me, this particular content of suffering has been so close and has created so much suffering, and over time it's kind of like there's like a certain distance that has been created with all the stuff that I've been doing around that, so that it's like I feel like I can look at it. I couldn't even look at it before, you know. And so it's kind of like it's become, instead of like this part of that something like that felt like it was like so part of me. It's like it's something that I can look at. It's like almost like outside of me.
Uh-huh. So there's a way in which all the work you've done with it, because you've been working on it for so long, allows you to have some level of disidentification from it. You're not it. Mm-hmm. You're able to mm-hmm. see it.
Yeah.
And it is. And it felt like skin. And now with all the work that you've done, it doesn't feel like skin anymore. It feels like I can actually look at it and see what's actually going on, rather than be jerked around by it or feel its charge or however it is that right. you experienced it before.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really the movement we are trying to make, right, Helga, on so many levels, right? The fact that you would choose it, because it's clearly a place of enormous suffering, so you say yes to the encounter, right? I am going to basically look at this, even because it's the most painful thing that's going on for me. It's where I suffer the most. And then there's mm-hmm. the determination and the willingness to keep at it till you can get to a place where you look at it and see it for what it is, and disidentify from it as who you are, and now you have a choice about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very powerful.
Yeah, so anyway, I just really appreciate that Commitment Buddy program.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that the guidance was followed, right? Helga, I mean, Sherry told you to do it, and you did it. How many of us do that, right?
What?
I said, how many of us do that, right?
Oh.
The first place that everybody goes to with guidance at some level is resistance.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's another interesting little thing, you know, that I've noticed that, you know, it's like ego lets me do all. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about it. Of course I do it. You know, I mean, I do all, you know, most of, you know, what is offered, and you know, because I enjoy the process and everything. And then there's that moment of truth, you know, the moment of that letting go, and you know, that is, so I, you know, I can do all the programs, and then
it's the moment of truth. Yes,
yeah.
And then it's the moment of truth. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And fortunately, we have many moments of truth, right? We get to make that choice over and over again until we're ready to make that choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there more?
All right. No, that's
all
it.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. Thank you
so much, Helga.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night. Right.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. Ashwini, I love that point made just at the end right there about, well, I'm doing practice and I'm signing up for all the programs, but am I just kind of going through the motions with it, or am I using the tools that are given to me and following the guidance because it's really important to me to end suffering for myself?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and even if it, and that's an interesting place, right, Michael, which I think Helga was alluding to, that what stops us as ego at the moment, or what we think stops us is, at the moment of truth, is whatever ego is going to do to me. But the fact is, it doesn't shut me down, right? So until I keep doing all of those programs, I'm not, in some way I'm training for that moment of truth when ego won't be what succeeds, right?
Yes.
So even if the moment of truth happens to be the one moment that I don't go with life, every single sign up for every practice opportunity is training me for that moment of truth.
Yes.
I'm still practicing whatever the ego narrative might be.
Right. Yes. 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 Excellent. It's all training. Yes.
It's all training. Yeah.
Wonderful. And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini and Michael. It's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi. I am in a, I'm in an undulation of darkness right now, after having huge expanse of lightness, and that moment of truth that you're talking about. I'm hoping to explore that, and I almost don't know exactly how to articulate it, but it's arising around making a commitment, making the commitment to practice with over the next 2 weeks. And I'm focusing on the early morning time, and after going through a period where I wasn't sleeping very well, I'm actually sleeping really well right now, and I don't want to get out of bed because it's so relaxing and so cozy, and so I'm in a well-known conditioned pattern of just one more thing. And what I'll do is like, okay, 10 breaths, you know, and then I'll listen to a recording. Oh, now I'll listen to a centering exercise from the thing. So it's like one more thing. And it seems kind of benign, but then I'm getting up late, and then I go into that kind of ego push around time. Mm-hmm. And this process happens, I'm watching it happen a lot around early morning time, around lunchtime, and also like an evening wind down. And it seems like all three of them are around just wanting to be and avoid conditioned mind, telling me like what I need to do. It's like, I just want to like be relaxed, and this is wonderful, and I love this, and I don't want to move to the next thing, which involves quote unquote having to do something, because it happens more during the work week than like on a day off. And
okay.
So I was
hang on, Tracy.
Yep.
Because there's so much in that, right? That are all completely unrelated. So let's unpack it, right? So there's a process of sleeping really well and feeling completely relaxed, right? And then you're told that you shouldn't do that because it's going to lead to being pushed later, right? So I'm not allowed to have the experience of enjoying a good night's sleep and a relaxed waking up, because if I did, then something down the road is going to happen that I would give in to the push, right? So that's one piece of it.
Yeah.
The second piece of it is, which sounds slightly different, right? I mean, because being really clear what we're working with as a process allows us to work out the structure that will assist us to train with the process, right? So because in the case of training with something like that morning thing, right, you could put in a structure that says on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I choose to relax and get up whenever I feel like getting up and not indulge any conversation about overwhelm or stress for the rest of the day. That's my training. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I will set the alarm and train to get up when the alarm goes off, no matter what. Like at the monastery, I have to show up at meditation whether I feel like it or not. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm training with listening to that other voice, not listening to the voice that says, get up, I'm just going to get up and go about my day, right? Because then you can train with both. You can watch what happens and get to freedom around enjoying your morning on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays and not working with a haranguing voice, and then a different practice structure for Tuesdays and Thursdays, right? And you'll just see what happens. But the point is, you won't be in a conversation about it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love having the structure of getting to do both.
That's right. Because you're not required to listen. Because what got put together is what got put together, and you're seeing how they don't go together, and that you can be completely free in both enjoyment and in showing up. Because what you're working with is not listening to a voice for either of those things. Not stop enjoying yourself, stop enjoying a good night's sleep, and being pushed. Those are not your choices, right? Those are the two bad choices.
Yeah.
So that's the first part I heard. The second part is completely different, right? Because here, it's around the work week, and the frame is, I want to be and I don't want to do, right? I mean, if you're looking at what all of the language that we've been talking about so far, being is what we are attempting to train for as awareness practitioners, but not the being that conditioning is talking to you about, where you're not following life impulse in movement or action as appropriately as life would move, right? Being does not imply an absence of action. It's just appropriate action. It's life action. It's following life impulse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and then...
The conversation for you is, it's okay, I want to be but not do, and so somehow or the other that's wrong, right? That your ability to just relax into life and let life lead the action is being transformed into the duality between being and doing. Do I understand that right?
It is. And so what happens, so this is an example of what happens. Like I say, okay, I'm going to read email submissions for 30 minutes. And I'm like really excited and, oh my God, I want to read more. So I'll say, oh, I'm going to read, you know, X amount tomorrow. And then, you know, that time will come and other things are arising. And because I got excited about it the day before and projected it to a certain time the next day, it becomes, and that's where I get confused. Like, is it now a should? I mean, I still want to, but it's not really what's arising. Like, I get bamboozled when there's an intention set for another time, and then that difference between like intention and commitment, like I'm seeing how I need to really commit to the how. But sometimes like where I'm going to direct my attention, it sometimes feels like I have to push to do it. I don't know if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So the confusion is between an intention and a commitment. And it's always an interesting place to practice, right? Because what we're always practicing is being present. So if I'm present, then I follow the life impulse. The issue there, right, Tracy, is that we can't trust ourselves to know whether it's a life impulse or a conditioned impulse, right? That's really why structures assist us, right? So I don't know. We talk about this a lot. If I'm going to get a meditation program going, and if I say I'm going to sit for 10 minutes, then I'm going to sit for 10 minutes, not 9 minutes, not 11 minutes, 10 minutes. Until I can be absolutely certain that when I make a commitment, it's not about whether I sit for 10 minutes or not. It's that I will know that I can be trusted to keep the commitment. Because it can take you to exactly the place of suffering you're in. I made a commitment. I'm excited. I'm going to sit for 30 minutes and read the email class response tomorrow. But it's made in that excitement, and so something arises, and now you're in a conditioned conversation, which is suffering around something you're excited about. Should I be present to what is arising, or should I keep this commitment because I said I would? That's not the reason to do a commitment practice, right? You want to create a structure that assists you not to be in the conditioned process, not to be listening to a conversation in conditioned mind, because that's the only thing you're attempting to exit. So are you tracking? So we could have a structure for that one too.
Yeah.
I'm tracking, and I'll have to listen to this again. Yes, it's.
Like, so here's how I would practice with it, right, Tracy? Because what the process you're working with is confusion.
Yeah.
The content of the confusion is intention versus commitment. So how you train with it, it'll be really interesting to do over the next 2 weeks as we are working on commitment practice, right? Because what you're learning is how to create commitments that don't put you into suffering places because of exactly the issue you identified. You do not know if it's an intention or a commitment. So the thing that you've learned about it so far is I'm reading email class submissions, and I'm really, really excited. When I make commitments from excitement, conditioning can get a hold of them. So the conclusion to that is I'm not going to make commitments from excitement. I'm going to practice making commitments not from excitement to see if I have more success in not going to suffering places. Right? So the way I would practice with that is it shows up. Oh, I would like to do this. So at this point, let's say it's 3:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday. I don't know what I'm going to be doing at 3:30 on Wednesday afternoon because my day might be fluid. So on Wednesday morning, as I schedule my day, I might say, okay, the intention of this is available. Does my schedule account for it? Maybe I can't do 30 minutes. Maybe it's 10 minutes, and it's not at 3:30 in the afternoon. It's between 12 and 12:15 while I take my lunch break.
Yeah.
But if I make that 15-minute commitment, I'm going to keep it. That slot is sacrosanct. But at least I'm bringing a whole amount of conscious awareness to how I'm creating that commitment and practicing not making commitments from excited places, because even though there's excitement, you've seen it creates a suffering process. So let's not do that.
Oh, that would be good.
Well, and then you learn a whole lot, right? Because if suddenly what happens is you're not allowed to do the things that you're excited about without it being scheduled, then you have another place to look at to practice from.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of rich opportunity here.
Yes.
Yeah. So for the practice focus for the year long, and with the guidance be to really just hone in on one thing. So it would be something like, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm just, you know, then I'll just be relaxed and not have the schedule and just let it be, and then Tuesdays and Thursdays, and really just stay with that for the structure to really notice, because I can see how I'm like, oh, I want to do that, and I want to do that, and I want to do that.
Yes,
and,
it's the same process of excitement, right, that allows you
exactly. Yeah. Okay, good. I would have gotten to this place without your assistance, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, most welcome, Tracy.
That's what I needed.
Well,
oh, my gosh.
Let's stay in touch. We'll see how that works on Sunday.
Yes, I know. I can't wait. It's just been an extraordinary beginning of the year long, and it's just, I know, I can't believe we're only a few weeks in. It's been something already.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all
great.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tracy.
Okay, Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. And Ashwini, I really appreciate that deep looking and going into detail and peeling the next layer of the onion and seeing what's there. It's always revealing, it seems to me.
It absolutely is. That's how we can, that's a process we can do in order to know what we want to train with, right? Because the content is always informing the process. And there's so much we can structure in how we train if we can learn that ability to look at the information that we're, that intelligence is registering about something.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. And Ashwini, we're going to take a break, and we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Wonderful. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, I wanted to remind folks that there's an app for the iPhone for recording and listening, and it's called Practice Recorder, and it's on sale in the iPhone's App Store.
Great.
Great. And we have more callers here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from California.
Hey, Anna.
Hey, Anna. Hi. Wow, how fun. Yeah, I just have really been appreciating the radio show today. I have also been looking at commitment and the year-long retreat, and I do the commitment buddy thing. And I'm just loving how everything's kind of intertwining and the way that others have described.
It's a lovely coming together, right? All the threads weave in together, and it makes it so much more powerful because it's not fractal, right? It's not different things. It's just the same thing.
Yeah.
The same process.
And exactly. And it's so I've been looking at the commitment thing with the commitment buddies, and then the process is not really a thing, the commitment process. And I just, the assignment, you know, saying that this first week we're looking at how we don't do the commitment. And and then the second week we're going to like do the commitment. And I found that really helpful. I had this experience yesterday where there's this thing that I've been kind of had on my mind to do since, like, I don't know, the beginning of January. And so I picked that as the thing to do. And what was so funny about it is I did it yesterday. And like, it was just so funny because I was aware while it was happening, watching what was going on. And it was like, it occurred to me that I could do it. And then I was like, oh, but I'm looking at how I don't do it. and then I just did it. And it was just really, it was so profound in so many different ways about, you know, the whole process of how things get put together.
Mm-hmm. So this thing that you haven't been, you wanted to do but haven't gotten around to doing, and project some level of resistance around, which is why you picked it. And then it, like,
yeah,
the first day out of the box, there was no resistance to doing it. You just do it. You just did it. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
it was almost, it was like almost the thing that allowed me to do it was that I didn't need to do it. Or, you know, it was like there was no pressure to do it. I just, you know.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that the instruction that this is not about being successful didn't create that should or the resistance. It acts the permission not to do it, but to consider your process around doing it caused the walls to fall, as we could say. And that's an interesting thing to see too, right? As soon as the should gets established is when the resistance also gets established.
Yeah. Yeah, and that that's what you just said is the thing that I've been, I think, really focused on, is this belief around success and how that, like, I mean, needing to do, like, practice successful or anything successfully, living my life in the right way, and how much of an impediment that is to doing, to learning and to, like, doing, actually living my life the way I, you know, like, kind of practicing awareness, actually. I mean, I guess I can be aware of the practice of that, but it's like, you know, I have a strong emotion, and that's not, you know, express it in a way that I, you know, express it however I express it, and then the evaluation of whether that was, like, good or bad or right or wrong or should be repeated or not, it's like just practicing, like, my mantra right now has been, like, this is practice, and so it's like in those moments where there's, you know, would be an evaluation, it feels like, you know, the freedom is like, you know, this is practice. I'm practicing not to be perfect. I'm just practicing. And it feels like that's just, it gets me out of that whole, like, shame guilt process, which is just unhelpful.
So several pieces of information about that ego control process, right? So one being to have to do it in a particular way, to have a particular outcome, whenever that gets added to something, there's an automatic resistance, right? That sense of, okay, the outcome has to be this way, or I have to do it this way. That in itself is a barrier to execution. You get cut off from the life force because that's a block for you. And so then to reframe commitment as practice, but not practice with a specific outcome, allows the freedom to execute without that pressure. Right? Both of which are so important as pieces of information to be able to have the life that you want to live, to be awareness, right? Because awareness is aware. It's not aware. It's not aware for a reason or for an outcome. It's not in the domain of right and wrong. And if that is your heart's desire, you're training in that process by watching how it gets set up to be interrupted or not implemented.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I can just so see how the alternative, you know, the practicing for a particular thing kind of process as it gets set up within the system for me is just so the world of the conditional. You know, it's like the performance, the proving, the things needing to be a certain way or else. And so what I end up practicing is living in that world, which is not what I want to do, you know, because I think living in that place of inquiry is just, where I want to practice to live.
Yeah, so the conditional gets evoked, right? So it's only if the outcome is X or the emotion is Y or you whatever it is that dot dot dot, the performance becomes becomes what it gets focused on. But the most important thing is the conditional construct drives you into participating in a world and a process which you don't want to be in, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost as if, I mean, looking at it in the way we're talking about it in the year long, right? The you're living in the conditional, but until you encounter the resistance to the conditional, you don't realize that the reason the resistance exists is because you want to be in the unconditional. So why pursue the conditional when you'd rather choose the unconditional? Now you just have to learn how not to engage in the process of the resistance that we're talking about, so you can choose where you want to be, which is here, practicing.
Yeah.
Aware.
Yeah.
So subtle it is, right?
It is subtle. It is subtle because it all gets like sweeped into the system, you know, whatever content that presents itself.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, you know, and I just feel like we've been pointed in, at least from my experience of the year long thus far, has been being pointed continuously in that direction. And I really, really appreciate that. I don't know. I just feel like I'm hearing it in a different way and just, I don't know, able to practice it in a different way. And I can definitely feel the freedom, you know.
Yeah.
I can feel those moments of freedom through my participation in the retreat and just following the guidance. And I just am really grateful for that.
Yeah, and it's living in the world you want to live in, right? Because the encouragement is always the encouragement towards what your heart wants, not against what your heart wants.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel like it's been particularly for me, it's just felt like such a kindness to be to be like letting go of the reins of the drive towards perfection and being continually pointed towards the process of practice.
Yeah, letting go of the reins of perfection and being brought back to the process of practice that the perfection is already, right?
Exactly. There's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing like that needs to be done. It's just, it's not just, but it is available.
It is.
So thank you, and it's so fun to be on the radio show and being able to connect. I just feel very happy to be here.
Well, we're happy you're here. Thanks, Anna.
Me too. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And Ashwini, if I followed then, that letting go the reins of the drive for perfection reveals the perfection.
We say it so often in so many different ways, right? What
yes.
you practice is what you have. If you want to be happy, be happy.
Yes. Brilliant. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Michael. Hi, Ashwini. This is Kim calling from Vashon.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Well, this has been a fantastic conversation, and I, too, am looking at a commitment for the second step. And I got into this really interesting workshop with trying to choose between two commitments, and then I chose a commitment that I've been working with for 2 years at least. Well, it feels like a lifetime, really. And I used it at the There's Nothing Wrong retreat when I was there 2 years ago, and I've been working with it on and off with my commitment buddy, and it's just the voices are screaming, and some of what they're saying is you shouldn't choose this commitment because you're it's never going to happen. You've been working on it already for your life. And so I'm already seeing, like, it's day one or whatever, it's day two, and I'm seeing, you know, I think someone else mentioned the difference between attempting, you know, to do this commitment and then doing the commitment. And it's sort of like what that brought up for me was looking at the weeds, focusing on the weeds, or focusing on the flowers, really.
Well, and I don't know what you mean by that, Kim, but are you saying that you're aware that part of what you're aware of is that the reason we choose commitment is not necessarily for the content of it, but the process of it, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a big shift from looking at this commitment, you know, for the past 2 years is now I'm looking at the voices and how, you know, the screaming of the voices is really a good thing. It's not something to be avoided, right?
That's right. Well, it's telling you it's important, right? If they're all, if we look at today's assignment, that as soon as you attain, you arrive at an ego boundary, the sensations start up, because what ego wants you to do is not to cross the boundary. So clearly you're approaching the boundary, Kim, right? Because the voices are having a field day trying to scare you off. However they do that, and you're seeing how they do that. Well, you've been working on it for 2 years. You've not been successful. Why choose this one? It's never going to happen. So back off, quit, don't do it.
Right, and so I guess then just keeping recording all of those, the screaming that's coming up, and you know, conditioning wants to take me back into the past about how this all got started and why, and all of the noodling and meticulous little, you know, stories about, and then into the future and what it means about me that I can't do this commitment, and on and on. So, I mean, definitely seeing a whole array of different things coming up already.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And that and if you reframe it and just wait to see how we're guided through this process over the next 2 weeks, right? Because somewhere I project there's a belief that it's about the outcome, right? It's about the content of the commitment. And no matter how much you practice with it, you're being judged as to whether or not you're successful around the whatever the commitment is.
Yes, exactly.
I might not be saying it accurately because I don't know what the content is, but...
No, you're exactly right, because it has, right. This commitment has ramifications for my job, my, you know, my avocation, my life, my, you know, everything. It's just sort of central to this identity. And yes. When I read the whole thing about the boundary of the identity, I was like, oh my God, but can I really let go of this identity? I'm, you know... This is huge to see it.
Yeah, well, and so, you know, Kim, that's an interesting thing to record about, because if you're practicing, so what it's gone from is the content of whatever the commitment is to, okay, now the duality is, can you or can you not let go the identity? And the Jedi move there, right? The Aikido move there is, okay, well, there it is. Now, again, it's the extreme of the duality. Will you or will you not be able to let go of the identity? But that's not the point. The point is the awareness registering the fact that, oh, now it's taken into that realm of okay, well, now I've got to let go or not let go. I'm just watching the process. It doesn't mean that I have to let go of the identity or not let go of the identity. I, in that sense, right? You could just watch, oh, that's what it's doing. It's a big issue because the voices are screaming about the choice of the commitment, and now it's a bigger issue that gets converted into it's my decision whether or not I make a content choice. So once again, it's gone from observation of the fear of the identity to an action that needs to be taken. It's gone from being to doing, from awareness to action. And that's just interesting to see.
Yes. And it makes it really dire. You know, even hearing you talk about it is bringing up fear. Because
the
ability of actually doing that, you know, instead of being the awareness watching the whole program,
right?
It bounces back and forth between. So yeah, that's really helpful.
Yes, and to recognize that every time you feel the sensation of fear, is it's mm-hmm. not your fear.
Mm-hmm.
And to make that movement. And it's hard to make a movement because of the sensations, right? And that's what today's assignment is pointing to. And so I would project that the reason you've been working on it for 2 years is because the content is still so believable. The choices that are being presented to you are still so believable. And that what you're getting to see and what you're getting to practice is, well, how do I hold the space in order to be able to see it and do what Helga was pointing to, which is keep moving back far enough to realize that I don't have to be A, in relationship to this content, and B, acting to fix the content. Because all it is doing is having my attention.
It's sometimes I can see it, sometimes I can get back far enough to see it, and then fear just like is like a magnet and pulls me in. Yeah. Like a black hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just sucks me
in. Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's
just put fear under the microscope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because again, what it's gonna say is you shouldn't be afraid. Why are you afraid? How long have you been working on this that you shouldn't be afraid? And you step back from that, right? Whatever it is, the only movement you're practicing making is to step back from where it has you.
Right.
Not to fix it, not to fix yourself, not to fix the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep making that movement until that's clear to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't yet.
No, it's really believable.
It hasn't stopped you. And it hasn't stopped you from working with it.
No, because it's really, it did kind of stop me like 1 month for one of the commitment buddy things. I was like, you know what, I'm going to choose something that's really easy, that in quotes, that I can have success with. Because I'm tired of this one. I've been choosing this one for years and years, and I just don't feel, you know. So I did a quote, in quotes, easy one for this month with my commitment buddy. And there's something... there's a difference I'm seeing between forgetting to do something and, like, you know, having an intention and forgetting, which is also an ego process, but also then this other one, the big one, you know.
Well, it's following the life guidance, right? Which is saying maybe you don't need to keep getting beaten up over this one, Kim. How about you go listen to the, you know, birds in the garden and play with the flowers for a while?
Exactly.
Because that gives us a context that we can apply to other places, right? I mean, in the monk story, the teacher didn't say go back to weeding and learn how to be happy weeding. She said go play with the flowers. And it's in playing with the flowers that she got to where she was with the weeds.
Mm-hmm. That is really helpful, too, because there was a little kind of grain of guilt of like, well, you just chose this one that's just, you know, kind of a slam dunk. You know, what kind of challenge is that for you? You know, it's like it's always about the challenge. So thank you so much.
Exactly.
I want to give other people an opportunity. And I just I'm very, very excited to see where this is all going. And already, you know, it just feels like a huge supernova of seeing. So thank you to everybody there.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks to Michael, too.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Kim. And Ashwini, conditioning is always ready to comment, no matter which direction we go, it seems.
Yeah. And when there are things that are really, really important to us, it really ups the scales.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we have time for at least one more caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Hey, Jill.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Ashwini. This call has been so great. I'm like scribbling in my notebook, like seeing all these things, and the one thing that stuck out to me to look at is, I guess when I was picking my commitment, I something dropped in, call two people a day. And then I had a similar process that has been described, which is like, no, too difficult. Like, I'll never do it. There's too much fear. Like, the fear was really like that. And so I was like, okay, just pick something that you know that you're going to be able to do. And so I ended up picking something, which is no screens after 9 p.m. And so there's two things I'm seeing in that. One is this, what feels like a difference to me of a commitment to do something versus a commitment to not do something. I just had this sense, and maybe it's not in the content part I think it is, but it felt like the commitment to do something, I don't know, it felt like that was a higher bar than like just depriving myself of some part of my life. Anyway, I thought, I don't know if that was significant at all.
I think I'm following, but I think what you're seeing in the distinction between the two commitments that were up for you to choose from is that the process of resistance between choosing something to do versus choosing something not to do bring up different things for you.
Yeah, one felt like sort of pushing or participating in life in a different way that felt scary, and then the other felt more like it just felt more familiar. It felt more like like not eating ice cream or you know, like some this uh-huh. like I'm just this is just another part of. You know, the long list that ego has of things that I shouldn't be doing anyway, and that I'm just going to participate in that, versus the other one just felt like this great stepping off into the unknown kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Right. So one felt like a sort of garden variety training task that the process of which you're really familiar with. This is not good for you, Jill, so this is one of those things that we need to assist you in getting past. While the other was a participation in life, it's almost like an identity shift, not a task shift.
Yes, bingo, exactly.
Yeah. And we have different, I mean, it's good to see that, good to see how in both places there's a way in which resistance operates. The flavors might be different and the encounters might be different, right? But there's still a control mechanism occurring.
Oh yes, absolutely. In fact, during the call, earlier in the call, I thought, oh, this commitment tonight at 9 p.m. is going to be so easy, and then it completely swung back to like, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, it's really, and I'm also conditioning is like picking up little bits of like why, oh right, like this is just we don't have to be successful this week, like maybe we don't have to do, you know, obviously I'm off the hook for doing, you know, all of
yeah,
I mean
yeah.
this is just in,
yeah you're off the hook for doing it yeah
exactly.
yeah so it's something somebody else was talking about, right? There are some commitments you're allowed to make and fail at, some commitments you fail before you even make them.
Exactly.
And you know the good news
incredible.
About it, Jill, is that we'll just, you know, when we're ready to face that, life will make sure we face it, right? We don't have to worry that you pick the screen commitment for the next 2 weeks, because by golly, that other one is going to come around for you sometime or the other.
I know, and I hope it does. And I've also am practicing like directing my attention, so like I don't have to suffer no matter what happens.
Exactly. Well, yes, because it's that thing, right? You know, nothing that you would, not everything that you would learn, or whatever insights that you get around the screen time, is what's going to be available to you when you go against the one that you're told you are not going to be able to do.
Mm, yeah.
It's an iterative process, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The movements are the same.
It's building the muscle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So, well, I'm glad I got a chance to speak with you, Ashwini. I really miss the radio show, so I'm looking forward to Sunday. And, yeah, just great to get on. So.
And then starting back on it daily.
Yes. I can't wait. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. And I heard no suffering, no matter what, Ashwini.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that's a great way. That's a great way to end the show.
Yep. Well, thank you, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks to everyone involved, all our callers, listeners, Sangha, everyone.
And go happy.
And go happy.